Amen. Just give me Jesus. Hallelujah. I like those words. That's all we need. Amen. We just need Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the grace that sustains me. Amen. His love provided for me. I left my notes at home. So I scribbled some notes that I just by memory. So hopefully I can relate this to you, or bring this to you. Amen. There's some things that were said all through the weekend that really, just things that have really, God kind of brought confirmation. Sometimes I always try to, things that are in my heart, I that God's speaking in my heart about, before I preach it, I always try to get a, you know, just a real witness to it. And I just had a witness to some things that God's been speaking in my heart about, and I just want to begin tonight just by sharing and understanding that, how many of you guys know image is everything? Image is everything. And I honestly believe that there's a battle going on for image. And here's what I mean by that. Because the image that He created us reflects who He is in the earth. And that reflection of Him in the earth changes things. Come on, I want you to see this, understand that it changes things. Amen. That image, that when we know it, when we see it, when we understand that I was creating His image and His likeness, that image will be transparent. It'll flow through me. It'll come forth out of our lives, and it'll change things around us. Listen, we got some work to do. Amen. And we need to understand that image is everything. Amen. Our image and our likeness that is in Him and how He created us. And it all began in Ephesians 1:8. I'm going to give this to you. Amen. Ephesians 1:8. Just want to give you a couple of these scriptures. Let me go to 4. And according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to good pleasure of His will. It was God's desire, amen, to be created in His image and His likeness, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let me just break this down, that we are to praise and understand that it's because of His grace that I can say that we know that we access it through grace. We access everything that He's done. Now, Jesus was the greatest representation of accessing all that the Father had and displaying it in the earth. He was an overcomer. Amen. He didn't walk by the ways of the world. Amen. But He changed things. He moved things. He was a shaker. Why? Because He was reflecting the image of the Father. I say nothing that my Father hasn't said. He reflected everyone. Amen. So everything that was contrary to who He was changed. Everything. Come on. Everything. Disease, sickness, whatever was in front of Him, it changed because He was reflecting that image and likeness of the Father. He operated in grace. Sometimes we have a funny thing of grace. I want you to know that grace doesn't stop with us being saved. That we receive the grace of God. Okay? It is unmerited favor. So we deserve something different, but we got the greater. We got what God gave us. Amen? Amen? We got a blessing. But it doesn't stop there. I want you to know that for us to walk this out and to walk in His image and likeness, we have to walk continually in His grace. And that's something that we have access. That's something that we need to take hold of. God, give me the grace to get through this moment. Give me the grace to pursue, to move on, to change things, God, Lord. For in my life, the things I struggle with, God, I need Your grace, God. Your unmerited favor, God, Lord. I need Your strength for this position. I need You because I want you to know He's rooting for you, amen, to succeed. Why? Because Your image and likeness is in Him. All right. I don't want to get in front of myself, but listen, He says, and to praise and glory be grace therein. He says, that means highly favored. I'm highly favored. There's a song that's out right now, and I like it's cool. The song rhymes, but it says, I'm a nobody talking about somebody. I like the beat of the song, but it, every time I hear that, I'm a nobody. And I understand what he's trying to say. I know. But to me, sometimes that we continue to say things like that, and it's negative. Because I'm not a nobody. Because, listen, if I'm in His image and likeness, that makes me a somebody. Come on, amen? It's not like I'm trying to be... No, I am a somebody in Jesus Christ. Who? In Christ, amen? Not unto myself, but in Jesus Christ, I'm a somebody. I'm not a nobody. So listen, He says, and in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There it is, grace again. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth, even in Him. So let me jump down here. And it says in verse 18, 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that image and likeness, what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in you, that we might know. Listen, our eyes of our understanding were enlightened. That means that we were flooded with light. We were flooded with light. That I was blind, amen, with what? What were you blind to? Not just what I've done, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. But I was blinded to the image of who I am in Him. See, listen, when we know our image, we know who we are, we tend to do things different. You know, I want you to know the effect that my father had on me, that he would never say to me, I'm going to be mad at you, this or that. He would tell me, he said, when I would go outside, every time he ruined my night, because now I'd have to walk careful. Because he would say to me, he says, remember, you're a Kaufman. And everything you do represents me. Seriously? He says, that's my name. He says, and I carry it well. You need to. And it did affect me. I did things, but I did things more sneaky. But I want you to know, it affected me. See, I want you to know, that's what God, I want you to know that, see, the enemy, he can, whatever he, if anybody tries to attack me, it's one thing. But when they attack my child or my wife or my family, that's where it hurts me. See, the enemy knows that if he can affect you, if he could get you, his children, he hurts God. I want you to realize that. I want us to know that. And it affects God. Not just because you're caring, because you are his child. And if I feel that way about my child, how much more does he feel that about us? So I just want to go over some of these things that you already know, but I want to just give it... share these with you. What is the hope of our calling? Our form and condition. That's our calling, our form and condition. What is the riches of His glory and His inheritance? I want you to see this, understand that. Listen, the calling. What is my calling in life? Our calling in life is to walk in the image and likeness, and everything else comes together. I'm telling you, that all falls into place. See, because this is what happened with the Galatians. The Galatians, Paul was coming after him and saying, listen, guys, what are you doing? You're going backwards. He said, because what they began to do is even Peter was going the wrong way, because he was saying that maybe we should keep circumcision going. Paul had a better idea. No, you don't have to do that. But he continued it. He said, because they based it upon what they can do about their works, about it was something that they were doing, something that they had to do to earn salvation or to earn grace or to make it through. And he would say, no, there's nothing else. They even went to the extreme where that they were actually, the Jews were going to the Gentiles' churches and going into the men bathrooms to see if they were circumcised. That's true. It's in the Bible. But that's kind of comfortable, kind of. But it's the truth. Because I wanted to make that point because, listen, these are church-going people. I don't know if they were commissioned by Peter for Peter just to check, hey, just make sure everybody's circumcised. If they're not, we got to get them circumcised. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But they were doing that. They were going to that place where like, hey, and they were basing their image based upon what they can do about their condition, about who they are. And he says, no, it's not about that. And he was trying to reshape them. He says, I had to go to Peter. He didn't get into it, but I went to Peter. Because Peter was hanging out with the Jews and acting like the Jews. And then he was doing the things with the Jews that he wasn't doing with the Gentiles. He says, why are you acting this way? Because why? Because you're reflecting the image and likeness of God. And they watch you because you reflect that image. You're the light to the world. You are the light to the world. What does that mean? You're the image of God to them. Now, I want you to know, but see, I want us to understand that. I want to begin to preach this and get us to understand that we are the image of God to them. To the world. So we have to know our image, walk in our image, so that we can be the light to the world. Amen? Because we can't be. We're not just waiting for Jesus just to do it. No. He's done everything. He died. Go make disciples. What? Be my image in the earth. Do what I did. Amen? I reflected the Father's image. Of who he is. Nothing else. So he says, and what is exceeding the greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, wherein we were brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and he's given over all things to the church, which is, he's placed it in our care. You're the image and likeness of God. I'm placing it in your hands. And he says, wow, think about that. And he has quickened us. We're dead in trespasses and sins. That we were dead to the image, to the understanding of our image and likeness of God. Okay? I mean, you know that in the Garden of Eden, that Adam, in a sense, he was dropped on his head. And he had a concussion. He had amnesia. He forgot who he was because of sin. He forgot who he was. That's why our minds need to be renewed in our image in Christ. Amen? And 1 Peter, he is the truth. He is the truth. And I just want us to see this. And this is where we stumble when we don't get our image from him. Where do we get it from? Where do we get our... And just think about this for a minute. Come on. I want us to all to... That our image with the way that we dress. And I somewhere some long line... Well, no, I'm not really... No, sometimes... Or maybe it might not be that. But sometimes the house that I buy or the car that I drive, to some way, we are shaped affected by an image that somebody presents it to us, that someone will put to us. Maybe somebody said something. Maybe your parents. Maybe the most trusted person that you know says something to you, and that image sticks within you. Or maybe even it goes all the way back to I know the image that I had of myself was really jeopardized whenever I was in gym. When none of the kids would pick me, I was the last one to get picked. It affected me. Because I'm standing there like this. And everything's going to my high. You're not good enough. Nobody wants you. They don't even like you. It affected me. It really did. I remember those. But that was an image that was... The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. What? His image. The image of who he is. Because that's how he hurts God. If he can destroy that image and that likeness. So he begins it even at a young age. Come on, what somebody says about you. But I want you to know, if I'm not getting the truth, whatever image I get it from, if it's not God, is the wrong image. It is the wrong image. It has to be from him. Listen. 1 Peter 2:9. Am I making sense? He says... I got to jump back, but let me try to find it here. Is it 1 Peter 2? Stay with me. I forgot the one note. Oh yeah, here it is. I found it. You as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, that's Jesus, amen, precious, in that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, you believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same stone made the headstone, the cornerstone, a stone, a stumbling block, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, wherein they were appointed. Listen, I know we've heard the scripture, but I want you to know this really jumped out at me with this, that he is the truth, okay? And whenever I receive this, anything outside of that truth, okay, that if I don't believe what he says about me, it becomes a stumbling block. Because he has an image of me. Everything else outside of that will cause me to fall. You see what I'm saying? He is the truth. Anything outside of that. And so I want you to know that I base anything image outside of Christ, it'll crush me. Because he says those that the Bible... See, because why? He's not crushing me, but me not honoring or taking hold of that image and not like the truth that is presented to me in Christ Jesus. Because of that, that truth crushes me. Does that make sense? See, I want you to get this because I go the other way because it will cause me to trip because he is the truth. And he says, because why? Because he declared he went to the cross. He died. Amen. He gave his life. He purchased us that we are his. And he's the one that was in they rejected the stone, Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected the stone and that stone became a stumbling block to them because he was the truth. He was so that truth caused them to stumble. See what I mean? It caused them to stumble. It caused them to be crushed in what? That opposite image of who they were. So, if we can take hold of that, he is the truth. He's the truth. But the enemy, he wants to pervert, distort, and destroy with opinions about what we think or image we think of ourselves. See, and here's the thing. They were looking at themselves in a truth that wasn't true because instead of looking at Christ, they were looking at themselves and say, we are the answer. We're the answer. And that truth crushed them. Making sense? Okay. So, here we go. This is where we get our image from. I want you to catch this. I want you to grab this. And then I'd like to pray. It says, he says, but you... He says, it become a stumbling block. He says, but those that believe the truth, it'll set you free. It'll make you free. But you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were people, but now... But you were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. So there's so much truth packed in that right there that he says, guess what? The first part says what? That you are chosen. See, that's powerful because I want you to recognize that you were chosen, that you were picked out, that you were chosen, that God had plans, God had purpose. That you were chosen to reflect his image in the earth, his likeness. That you have a date, a birth date. That means that you have an effective date. Amen. That you have purpose. You have a birthday. So you release that. Amen. So he says, and we declare that we are chosen. And that means accepted. That if we can hear that and see that God has chosen me, that means that I am accepted. And we all want accepted. See, that's what we do. We do everything we do. We base it upon that. Even when you're a little kid. Come on. I mean, the things that you do to get attention. You know what I mean? The things that you do. Sometimes what happens, you want attention. I've seen people do things to get attention for all the wrong reasons. But they're just trying to get attention. They're living for attention. Sometimes we do our work to get attention. Sometimes we do this. We see Facebook to get attention. Come on, amen. And just like, and that can become a stumbling block if it's not Christ. So we have to be careful. Where am I getting my image of? Where am I getting my attention? Where am I getting it from? My acceptance. My acceptance. And we could see that. And we could see how that it has affected so many people. They're just trying to get acceptance. And He says, I have chosen you. That means that He accepted me. Tell your neighbor He's accepted you. Even before you accepted Him. That's what's so beautiful. Before you accepted Him, He accepted you. I want you to know that this is our message to the world. Come on, amen. I want you to know that we have to be able to extend this to people to let them know who they are in Christ. See, we're to reflect to them, to give them the image of what they're looking for. To reflect the image and tell, this is what God says about you. Not just, you need to receive Jesus Christ before you burn in hell. No, no, we need to, listen, that might scare some people, and they'll buy some fire insurance, but I'm talking about a life-changing experience where somebody's changed, amen, dramatically changed. It's when they begin to come in contact with the image. It becomes the cornerstone to living life. With that image, amen? So listen to this. You are. I don't mean to say that. Does that sound bossy when I say that? Just something I say. It comes out of my mouth and I don't want to sound bossy. But listen to what I'm saying. He says, peculiar. Peculiar means identity. It means identity. An identity, people. A people with an identity that they can hang on to. Amen? That we could take hold of. He chose me before. We talked Ephesians 1:4. It says that He chose me from the beginning, from the foundations of the earth. I was chosen. Amen? I was accepted from the beginning. I was accepted. That's what we look for. Acceptance. We do things to please people. We do things for all those reasons. But that image has to come from Him. That acceptance needs to come from Jesus. That He's accepting me. Amen? He says, can you look up Titus 3:7? He chose me before everything. Hallelujah. Before I made a mistake. Come on. Before I walk in a different image. I want you to see and understand something, that all through the Old Testament, the battle that was taking place was, He says, don't worship false images. And everywhere they went, they began to worship false images. A false acceptance. And they honored these gods that they made up so that they would do all the right things so that they would accept them. Do you see the pervertedness in that, in our thinking, that you begin to go the right way and you're looking for God, but instead of staying with that and receiving the grace of God to walk in the image, we begin to create other images so that we could feel accepted. It's foolish. But we do that. Listen, I work in the world, man. I see it all the time. People looking for some type of acceptance, how they are going to be accepted, how they're going to be loved. And they want that unconditional love. God is love. They're longing for that image and that likeness that can only come from God. That you can't explain, that I feel this acceptedness from God, that who I don't even naturally, in a natural way, see with my own eyes, but this understanding of the Spirit that confirms it within me, that tells me, and I begin to believe it, and then the Holy Spirit begins to say yes and agree with it and begin to move in me and begin to see God loves you and begins to confirm His grace in the Word of God. That's powerful. Amen? He says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What's the next one? That this is a faithful saying, these things which I will affirm constantly. That He will do it constantly for you to understand that it's by His grace. Believe, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. Keep going. Let me just see something, because I think there's something else in here too. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. Listen. Images. Genealogies. Do you remember the guy in the Bible named Gideon? Where that he's standing in the midst and the angel of the Lord comes before him. The reflection of the image of God right before him. A messenger of God. This is who God thinks you are. You are powerful. You're a mighty man. This is the image. This is the image. And he argued with God about the image.
He says, no, I'm the least of the sons of Manasseh. You know where I'm born. Listen, it's right there. Avoid questions. Avoid genealogies. That's based upon the earth. Or based upon where that moment happened that somebody changed my image. Or the enemy used that thing. I want you to know that sometimes, I want you to know, maybe it's just that one moment the enemy comes and begins to plant that one seed. He walks away. Do you know who keeps it growing? I do. See, God plants His Spirit within me. And I begin to move towards Him, walk towards Him, walk in the Spirit. All of a sudden, that image becomes greater in me. But it goes the other way, the same way that if I respond to an image that's not of God and I walk towards it, I become more like that image. Or dependent upon that image to live, to confirm who I am. You'll keep doing the same thing to get the same results, to get some satisfaction, acceptance. He says, for they are unprofitable and vain. Next verse. I think that was it, actually. No, it's it. All right, listen. He says, a holy nation. That you're a holy nation. Tell someone you're holy. Listen, every time the Word of God talks, we know that holy speaks of value. Come on, amen. He says that He was in a holy, and then He was in a holy of holies. This is valuable. This is even more valuable. You're stepping in before. That He's talking about value, talking about something of worth. Now, how do you value something? How do you value something? Like, how do you value it? Huh? You take care of it? Absolutely. But like, even if I say here I have a $10 bill, or say I have this and I want to sell this. So I ask you, I say, hey, I want to sell this. What determines the value? Those all add into it, but the more I begin to think about it, I think it was even bigger in my mind when I began to think about this. Because here's the thing, if I own this thing, it's mine, and I go to sell it. But how about if I realize that this was owned by somebody else? That's Billy Graham. Yeah, this was owned by Billy Graham. It's the same thing. But two different people owned it. The value of it changes. Think about this. If I go to have a pair of shoes, my shoes are in this showcase, and there's a price on that. Listen, nobody's going to buy my shoes, or they're going to buy LeBron James shoes. The price of my shoes and LeBron's shoes are totally different. If I have a car for sale, okay, and it was owned by Clint Eastwood. I don't know why I can't think of some. The value of that car to that person is greater because of who owned it. Listen, He is mine. From the foundation of the earth, that creates a value. That's why He says it's holy, because it's all about who owns it. I'm His. There's in the world, people don't realize it or don't know who they are in Him. They don't know who they are. They don't realize who they are. They just don't know that, but they're His. So who does He... I want you to stop and think about this. We base everything about, well, they go to church, so they're holy. Uh-uh. It determines who you're owned by. That creates the value. I'm valued, why? Because I'm owned by Him. Man, that changes everything. Amen? That's powerful when you think of that. Who owned it before? Whose that was? But we think about the cost of that. Can you look up Deuteronomy 7:6? Then I begin to think about, how much does it cost? See, I might think my house is worth this amount of money, but it's not. To me, it is. That's the key word. Depending upon how much it's worth to pay, creates the value of that house. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to show you the value of what you're worth. It's the same. His value of you is the same as the value that He has of me. Man, that's acceptance. So it's not based upon anything else, what I think it is. See, I want you to know that if we can declare this message to people and let them know their worth in him and what he sees? Change an image. See, because in a lot of people's minds, their worth and their value is, they might think it's worth this much, but it's what he says it is. Because he paid the price. For thou art holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Upon all that are on the face of the earth. He's still talking about all the people. But he's saying the people that are on. See, I want you to know that the face of the earth speaks of an image that they're looking at. He becomes a stumbling block when we're looking at the wrong image. When we're bent down to the face of the earth, to the dust of the earth, to the flesh. Do you get that? Amen? He says, 1 Corinthians 7:23. It's pretty good for not having all my... I can't believe I remembered all that. I'm not that old. You are bought with a price. This is in 1 Corinthians 7:23. You are bought with a price. That makes me valuable. Be ye not ye servants of men. Don't be bound to an image that's not God. Because we'll become a slave to it. And not a son or a daughter. Amen. And the next part it says, let me just finish this with Romans. Just, I want you guys just to take this. I'd like to write these down and just put these, just for us to put them in our houses. And when we doubt that, we get in an argument with God, like Gideon, about who we are. 1 Peter. See, I just was bragging 2 seconds ago. Yeah. He says, a holy people, peculiar people, that you should show forth. He says, that you should show forth. See, when you know your image, you'll show forth. You'll shine like the sun. The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. The light, what? The image. The image. Come on, amen. That when you're in the light, come on, you get the image. You get the image. You get the image of who you are in him. The reflection of who you are in him. You begin to see, amen. Because when you're in the dark, you can't see. So he says, he brought us out of that darkness. And he says, which in times past you were not people, but now you are a people of God. Which had not obtained mercy. You've not obtained mercy. But now you have received the mercy of God. That speaks of the grace. That means forgiveness. That we are forgiven. Tell someone, completely forgiven. See, God doesn't do this. God doesn't do what sometimes spouses do. Like, you know that thing that you've done and you thought they forgave you? And like 2 years later, hey, do you remember when you did that? See, God does not have that capability to do that. It's not in him. Because the reason why I know that is because the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13 says it tells us what love is. Come on, it doesn't remind a wrong that was done. That's what love is. Man, see, I want you to know that's real love. That's what real love is. It's unconditional love. So, and I want you to realize this, that when I get hold of that image and likeness of what he thinks of me and that love, it'll be presented to people around me. See, sometimes the reason why we act the way we do is because sometimes we begin to lose that reflection of that image of God, that we're not tapping into the grace of God because we can't do it on our own. We try to sometimes get through that, but unless we're seeking him, unless we're pulling on God's grace and taking hold of who he is, because I want you to know the grace isn't just a thing, it's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Come on, he's provided everything. It's Jesus Christ. It's the person of Jesus Christ. That's what grace is. Everything that we ever needed, it's him. It's provided in Jesus. Everything. Come on, amen. Everything. I think about manna. I think about manna. Remember when it fell to the ground, they made it up. The word manna means, what is it? That's what it means. What is it? Not only that, but you go farther, it means, who is it? It was trying to get you to realize it's not just a thing. This bread that fell from heaven, it was a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And everything, do you know that everything that they needed was in that? See, not ever. See, sometimes we get messed up. Well, we want some meat. We want something different. You know what I mean? We don't like this. Not realizing that everything that you need in it is there for you. Everything to sustain you. That gives you life. Was in that. But when we reject the truth, it crushes us. Come on. Amen? Man, I can get into that, but hold off. Let me finish with this. Totally forgiven. You were strangers before, having your conversations honest among Gentiles, that you wear as you speak against, as you read, reduce, behold, submit yourselves to every ordinance. As I finish this, I want you to see this in Exodus, where this is it working. So I want you to know that Moses was raised under a false image in Egypt. He was in darkness. We can all get that and understand this. To see that he was in this place of darkness, and the light was shined upon him. He was enlightened to the surroundings of what was there. He didn't understand everything yet. But then he moved on and went on, and he was finally brought to a place where he was going to meet God face to face. But the way that he met God was through grace. I want you to see this. I want you to know that the first time that he walked up upon that mountain, before he did anything else, before he told him anything, before he said anything to him, he walked on and the first thing that he saw was what? A burning bush. I want you to know and see this and understand this, that is so powerful for me to tap into understand. There's nothing that I could do without that image. And he was showing him this. See, I want you to know that, listen, being in grace, you'll never burn out. He was reflecting the image of God. He was showing something. Listen to me. In me, without my grace, you will fail. You cannot go on. You cannot stand in that light. You will not be able to reflect that. But in it, come on, amen, that represented Jesus Christ. He was the burning bush that didn't go out. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get burned out. Sometimes we get tired. But I want you to know that in Christ, that light doesn't burn out. It doesn't run dry. Come on, amen. It doesn't burn out. So that's why it's important for us to tap into that grace. So here he is. He was reflecting him. He was telling him. He says, Moses, I've called you. He says, I've called you. He says, I've called you out. And he says, I've called you to be my token, my representative. See, I want you to see this, that after he's seen this grace, he says, I want you to be my reflection to man in the world. I want you to carry, to be a carrier container of my grace. Moses, you can't do this. Nobody's ever, ever shepherded that many people, ever. The only person that has done it was Moses. Now, there's a pastor in North Korea that has a million members, but technically they're all different churches. Million member church. But actually, it's not a church with a million people in it. It only holds like 18,000 or whatever. But technically he is like, you know, but what my thing was, it was the grace of God. Imagine how much grace that you have to tap into to walk in that, to sustain, not to fail, not to run dry, to wear yourself out. That's powerful. I want you to see that every one of these men and women of the Bible tapped into grace. They took hold of Christ, of all that he has, everything that he has, the reflection, and took hold of that image. And he looked at him and he says, Moses, he says, listen, he says, who do I tell him? He says, I am. I want you to know and see this. He says that if you can understand I am in his image and likeness. Come on, amen. That you are representing me. You're my reflection. You are the light in the world. He says, and wherever you go, he says, I want you to know that I'm with you. He says, and you tell them that. He says, you're my token. You're my representation. You're my reflection. He says, and God will expose those. We are called to expose those who don't know who they are in Christ. That's go ye and make disciples. Make disciples who they are in Christ in me. Not Christians, in Christ. So we use that term so loosely, and they really never even said that in there. And it's not wrong with that, but what I'm saying is there's over 100 sometimes in the New Testament where he says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You can't do it outside of him. We have to do it in Christ. Everything that we do. I believe with all my heart, it's as simple as what I'm telling you, that we access his grace to every situation, everything. Take everything to the Lord. Whatever I'm facing, I want you to know if my image of weight or my image of whatever that is, whatever that image that I have of myself, come on, can be challenged with that understanding. God, I need your grace, come on, to get through this thing. I need your grace to sustain me. Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace to God, Lord, in the midst of these, with whatever people I'm around in this, I need your grace. I want to represent your, what image am I reflecting? Is it my image? So when I'm around people, when I begin to communicate with people, what image am I projecting? What image am I reflecting? Is it my image? Because it'll cause somebody to stumble. But if I reflect His image with that confidence of knowing who I am, how I'm loved, how valuable that I am, I'll reflect that image to others. And they'll say, I want that. I want that. It's nothing about what I say. It's who I'm connected to. It's not what I'm saying. It's who I'm connected to that reflects that.